Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
Share something I haven't shared in a few years, a couple of years anyway. Maybe three or four. But today we're going to talk about three wins that make a win. Everybody say three wins that make a win. Say it again, three wins that make a win. Starting tomorrow, some of you may start a day or so later, depending on what your schedule is. I know it's New Year's Day tomorrow, but I just felt like starting as early as possible. We're going to begin as a church. I'm encouraging us as a church corporately. We're going to go on a 21-day journey, a 21-day fast at the beginning of this year. Start things off just with a time of intentionally seeking and going after God and fasting. I'm going to share about that here this morning and teach some of that. Some of you guys don't know what a fast is. Some of you do, but maybe you've never been a part of one. Some of you guys are sitting here thinking fasting, that's for like really old, really spiritual, hyper-spiritual, fanatical people. And that's really not for me. And that's just really not quite the case. And this is what I really believe. I'm just going to throw this out there. I believe in my heart right now that some of you are sitting right here, sitting here this morning, some of you are watching, right, joining us on Facebook, you couldn't get here today, and God is going to speak to you. God is going to speak to you. He's going to put something on your heart. He's going to put a fast, a specific fast, a type of fast, or just draw you to take part in this in some way, and you're not planning on it at all, but I believe God's going to speak to some of you, and listen to me, if you feel the Holy Spirit leading you to be a part of this, you need to obey. And I promise you, when you obey God's voice in this area, in any area, but in this area especially, I believe, because there is some significance in it, you will see God open up doors for your life. You will see God speak to you. You will develop a deeper walk with God than probably you've ever developed over your course of your walk with God. If you have never partaken or been on any sort of spiritual fast, listen, it is the fastest way to draw closer to God than any other discipleship tool that God has given us. I'm telling you that. And I'm not telling you that because I've read it. I'm telling you because I've lived it. And this, I don't talk about this a lot, but this fasting has been a pretty big part of my life. I know I'm fat and it doesn't look like it, but fasting has been a pretty significant part of my life for a long time, especially at the beginning of the year. Probably for the last decade or more, I have began every year with a time of fasting and prayer. And I've seen God bring tremendous breakthrough. There's been times where we were believing for a job, and through the fast, during a fast, God provided and opened up a door for a job. We've seen God give me fresh vision for things. We've just seen breakthrough after breakthrough. We've seen revivals break out during a time of 21-day fasting. One time, several years ago, I was pastoring another church, and we led our church in, to join us in a 21-day fast. And we saw miracles begin. We had a 4-day outpouring of healings where people were just getting healed. Backs were getting healed and legs were getting healed. Literally physical healings. People who hadn't been able to hardly move or walk or bend over in years, God was healing their spine and putting things back. And I've experienced in my life where fasting opens up doors and it just seems to open something up in our lives that there's no other spiritual tool God's given us to do that. And so I want to get into that with you a little bit here this morning. We're starting in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Then we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to end in a couple other scriptures today. So I'm not going to go real long, but I am going to give you some information this morning. So are you guys with me? Are you guys ready to dig in? Let's do it. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. Verse 12, the Word of God says, "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken." A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Everybody say that. Let's say it together. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Now, this is in the Old Testament, and let's fast forward to the New Testament. I believe Jesus gives us three wins that developed this three-strand, not easily broken cord that God has given us in our lives that we can put into process. And as we look at this, we're going to see that honestly, this is on purpose, even though I feel like God's led us to do it, it's also intentional, where we've already begun to put together this three-strand accord. We do this every year. We've begun to put together this three-strand accord at the end of this year and beginning into the next year. You're going to see what I'm talking about in just a second. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at these three wins that make a win. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Father, for just speaking to us this morning. Thank you for opening up our minds to hear and receive everything that your word has for us to hear and receive this morning. And I ask it in your precious name, Jesus. Everybody said, put your hand on your belly somewhere. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear, so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Three wins that make a win. Follow along with me. The scripture will be on the screen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. Jesus is talking. He says this. He says, so when you give to the needy, say when you give. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So when you give, I say when you give. Go to the next one, Matthew 6:5. I'm just going to read it from the screen. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. Say, when you pray. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Everybody say, when you pray. Skip to the next one, Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 through 18. It says, when you fast, everybody say, when you fast. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men they are fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Everybody say, when you fast. These are three win statements Jesus makes during his very famous sermon, perhaps the most famous sermon ever preached in the world. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew chapter 6 through around Matthew chapter 8. It's all one sermon that Jesus, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 5 through about Matthew 7. It's all one sermon that Jesus is talking. And this is Jesus' first big sermon to a very large group of people. And there are probably thousands of people in attendance listening to him. And Jesus is beginning to address some of the religious practices that the Jewish people had been putting into place, yet they had become dead traditions. But this is the thing. Jesus says, when you give, everybody say, when I give. Jesus says, when you pray, everybody say, when I pray. And Jesus says, when you fast, everybody say, when I fast. I want you to notice very carefully that Jesus does not say, if you give, or if you pray, or if you fast, but he says, when you give, when you pray, and when you fast. That tells me that these are not questions of if that a believer is supposed to have in their life, but when we do these things that are supposed to be in our lives. Amen? And so we see three wins. What did our first reader say? Ecclesiastes 4:12. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. One can be overcome. Two can be overpowered. But a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Listen, that's our three-stranded cord that God has given us. Giving, prayer, and fasting. Amen. Three wins that make a win. Say three wins that make a win. You understand I'm saying three W-H-E-N, right? Everybody's on the same page that make a W-I-N, right? I know you guys figured that out. I just wanted to make sure in case there's any question whatsoever. Three wins that make a win. Giving, praying, and fasting. Now, we've already begun at the end of every year. We have our end of year 3:16 offering at Christmas time, where we give our best to celebrate when God gave us his best, Jesus. That's one part of that cord that we begin to build in and program into our yearly schedule here as a community of believers. It's when we give. Amen. Now, why is giving so important? Why are these three things so important in our life? Well, let's talk about giving for a second. Giving, you know what giving does in our lives as a believer? It does lots of things, but one of the main things that it does is giving kills my selfish nature. We are all selfish and greedy by nature because we are all sinful by nature. And when I give, it forces me to every time I give, I am killing my selfishness. Every time I give, I'm killing my greed that is inherent within me. Does that make sense? And so God said, Jesus said, when you give, and he gives us some instruction on how to give, but he says, when you give. So giving kills my selfishness and greed. What does prayer do? He said, not if you pray, but when you pray. What does prayer do? You know what prayer does in my life? It does many things in my life, but one of the main things it does for me is, and for our lives as believers, is prayer forces me to remember that I'm supposed to rely on God. When I pray, it systematically puts me in a position to remind my life, reminds myself, I'm not out here doing this on my own. Amen? And I'm not to just be doing what I know to do. I'm to be constantly reminded and to ask God, God, what are you having me do? And God, I need you in my life to make the things happen in my life that I'm supposed to. Amen? Prayer reminds me to put my trust in God. Fasting, what does fasting do? When you fast, you know what fasting does? And we're going to spend most of our time today talking about fasting. Here's what fasting does. Fasting reminds you and I that we are more than just our base desires and fleshly instincts. Amen? You know, there's some people that would have you believe that you are nothing more than the sum of your own instincts. You know what that makes us? No better than an animal. That makes us just like a dog. Just like a cat. Come on, somebody. Does that make sense? Now, do you believe that, you don't have to answer or raise your hand, but hopefully we believe that we are better than dogs, better than cats, better than pigs. Amen? Okay? And so, but here's the thing. We live in a culture, we live in a society, and because of sin, here's what happened. Okay, let me do just a little bit of teaching here. You've probably heard me teach this before, but let me review, let me remind, and let me helpfully instruct some of you that have been with us. Listen, Jesus, God created man in his own image, correct? God is a three-part being, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, correct? So if we are created in the image of God, it stands to reason that we are also a three-part being because we are made in the image of God. Does that make sense? If we're made in the image of God and God is a three-part being, wouldn't you and I ought to be three-part beings? You'd actually see this mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 6, where the Word of God talks about being redeemed or being renewed, being sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. Those are our three parts. You and I are spirit, soul, and body. Okay, so what are those parts? Our body is our flesh, our desires, our base instincts, our hungers, our appetites, our need for sleep, our need for food, our need for water, our need for shelter, the base desires of every human being ever created on the earth, okay? That's our flesh, our fleshly appetites. What is our soul? Our soul is the sum of our mind, our will, our emotions, my decision-making ability, my ability to think and to reason and to logic. That all has to do with my soul, my ability to feel emotions. We may call it our heart. That is my soul. What is my spirit? Our spirit is the part of you when in Genesis chapter 2 and 3, when God creates man, the Bible says God formed man from the dust of the earth, and then he breathed his life into him. Our spirit is the breath of God that gives each and every one of us life. Okay? Now, we were originally created, God is a spirit being. You understand that? Okay? God is a spirit being. Everybody say, God is a spirit. Okay? God is a spirit. I don't have time to walk you all the way through this in the Word. You have to go home and Google that and look that up on your own today. But God is a spirit, okay? So again, if we are created in the image of God and God is a spirit, what kind of being are we to be? Spirit beings, right? Okay? So when we're created, our spirit, the God part of us, the breath of God in us, is originally what God intended for us to live our lives by. Now, this is what happened in Genesis chapter 3 in the Garden of Eden. When sin entered the picture, we flipped and turned the tables and flipped the script on the whole way that God designed us to work. And what we did is we took our spirit and we pushed him to the side and we allowed our flesh to take over. So now every one of us that are born, we are born following our instincts of our flesh. And it's not until we receive Jesus and receive the breath of God on the inside of us again, when we are redeemed, when we are saved, when we commit our lives to Christ, and we ask Jesus to come and live on the inside of us, our spirit man now comes alive. Does that make sense? Okay. So, I said all that to say to understand that what fasting does, and let me just define fasting. Fasting is intentionally abstaining from food in order to draw closer to God. That is a fast. That is a biblical fast. Okay? Now, what happens is, when I push away or deny one of my very base fleshly instincts, which is to eat, okay, what I'm doing is I'm telling my flesh, you are not in charge. I am not a flesh being who has a soul and rules a spirit. I am a spirit being who contains a soul and rules my flesh. So fasting turns the tables back in the way that it's supposed to be, in the way that ultimately once we get to heaven, it will be recreated and redeemed in our lives. But as long as we're on this earth, we have to be the ones that are intentionally killing our flesh. Follow me so far? So fasting is a way to remind me and to put things back in order and to tell myself, you are not the sum of your base instincts and fleshly desires. Amen? And we do that by denying one of those desires in fasting. Everybody understand so far? Everybody say fasting. So as we get at the end of this year, we take an offering and we give specifically and we give extravagantly, we give obediently, and we begin to pull together that first when you give. And then we follow that up in the beginning of part of the year, and we say, let's have an intentional time of prayer and fasting, and let's set up the rest of this year with that three-stranded cord in place in our lives, in our church, in our home, in our families. Amen? Say three wins that make a win. So let's talk about fasting for just a second. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. And let's talk about why do we want to fast right now? Listen, you don't have to wait till the beginning of the fast. You can fast anytime. But I do think that for me, there's just something about the first part of the year. I'm going to explain a little bit of that here in just a second. But let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. And we're going to read all the way to verse 17, which 17 I may not have given them for the screen. I'm sorry for that. That's my fault. It says, one day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with, with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So what Jesus is saying is, listen, I'm with you right now. You don't need to fast. You have me here. But one day I'm not going to be here in your face, and then you will fast to draw closer to me. Does that make sense? Okay, let's continue. They will be taken away, then they will fast. Verse 16, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. Verse 17, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old wineskins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Now, here's what I want you to see here. Let me just ask this. How many are believing God for some new things in your life this year? My hand is raised with you. I am. How many have some stuff from last year that you're praying to God stays there and doesn't drag with you into the new year? Amen. How many got some battles you faced this year that you're believing in the name of Jesus is dead and buried and defeated, and you're not bringing that into you in 2018? Amen. I've got some things like that myself. Okay? But here's what Jesus said. There seems to me, he meant when he's asked about fasting, Jesus says, then you will fast. But then he says about fasting, because he's still talking about fasting, he says, you don't pour new wine into old wineskins. So there seems to me in the scripture to be a correlation between my fasting and God and that creating in my life an atmosphere where I become a new wineskin ready to receive something new from the Lord. Amen? Now listen. I know that it's the beginning of the year and it's so easy and it's just here, but the reality is this. The turn of the calendar tomorrow is not going to just magically create any kind of new situation in your life. Amen? If I choose to remain the same Justin Bradley that created the drama and the situations and the circumstances and some of the battles that I went through this past year or in years past, if I decide that that same Justin is going to go into the turn of the calendar, guess what? I'm going to have a whole nother year filled with the same drama, the same headaches, the same heartbreaks, the same battles, the same decisions. But if I decide, God, I'm going to start this year off putting myself in a situation where I am made into a new person, where I allow you to change some things in my life, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to create an atmosphere in my life where God is able to pour something new. I'm going to become a new wineskin. And I'm just telling you how Jesus connects fasting with new wineskins and being a new piece of cloth ready for something new. So why do we fast at the beginning of the year? Because as we go into the new year believing for new things to burst forth in our life and to be birthed in our life through the Holy Spirit, and we're believing for old things to pass away and for things to be dead, guess what? I've got to do something to begin to initiate that process. And it looks to me like Jesus said the best way to do that is with a fast. Amen? Okay? Another thing about fasting at the beginning of the year is that you can see this all throughout the Old Testament, that God time and time again reminded the Israelites to bring to him the first fruits of their harvest. There's a principle of first fruits. What that means is this. Listen, come here, Justin, Andre. You're too tall. Somebody shorter. No, I'm just kidding. Come here. Somebody doesn't make me look so short. You stay on this bottom side. Thanks. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Come up here. Listen. All right, Justin, if I give you 10 $1 bills, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, let's pretend I give you $10 bills, all right? Which one belongs to God? The first one, right? The first one, okay? That's the principle of first fruits. If God gives me $10, the first one that he put in my hand is the one that belongs to him. God said, bring me what you harvest first, okay? Thanks. And so, I don't really know. I guess I didn't need you up here for that. I just felt like having you stand next to me. I feel safe. I'm just kidding. And so there's this idea of first fruits. And so there's this principle that I want to take the first part of the year and dedicate that to the Lord. And I'm going to do that in prayer and fasting. And say, God, I'm going to give you these first couple of weeks, these first 3 weeks of the year, I'm going to dedicate those to you. I'm going to block off my schedule. I'm going to shove some things away. I'm going to push some things away. I'm going to seek you this first part of the year. And what I believe happens is that God, because the principle of first fruits is this, when I trust God with the first, he will bless the rest. Amen? You hear what I said? When you trust God with the first part, he will bless the rest. Amen? And so that's one of the reasons that we want to fast. And we do this intentionally at the beginning of the year. Three wins that make a win. Let's talk about types of fast for a second, okay? Because for some of you that have never done this before, this can be really intimidating. I mean, have you ever had to have a procedure done and they tell you you can't eat anything for like 24 hours and you feel like you're about to die, right? And that's a terrible feeling. I mean, and it's crazy. It's like you could be busy doing stuff all day long, working all day long. How many guys get busy at work and skip lunch? And it's like 8 o'clock at night, and you're like, God, I haven't eaten anything all day, right? And so you can do that, but it's amazing that once somebody says, don't eat for this amount of time, all of a sudden you just go crazy. And you start dreaming of food you haven't thought about in years. You know what I mean? Like, like all of a sudden, tuna casserole just sounds awesome. You're like, God, I'll just love me some tuna casserole right now. We ate a lot of tuna casserole in my house growing up when I was a kid, so much so that I don't think I've ever eaten it since. To be honest with you, it was like every night was tuna casserole. What's for dinner tonight? Tuna casserole. Once I was much older that I realized that's all we could afford when I was a kid. But God is blessed. Amen. So. I remember one time as a kid, we were so, I don't remember this as much. I remember mom and dad telling me about it, and it's probably one of the reasons I don't eat much of this either. Like, we were really, really broke one day, and my mom and dad confirmed the story, they'll tell you about it. Like, we had nothing but oatmeal for like a week or two. Remember that? We had nothing but like oatmeal. And so it was oatmeal. What's for dinner? Oatmeal. What's for breakfast? Oatmeal. What's for lunch? Oatmeal. And I haven't eaten much oatmeal since those couple of weeks when I was a kid, I'll be honest with you. But it's amazing how the moment somebody says, don't eat this, or don't eat past this time, you just go nuts. Right? So let me give you some ideas about some ways to make this successful. Because I want, if God leads you to fast and you decide to join us in fasting, I want you to be successful at it. I don't want you to beat yourself up about it. Now let me just say this, a couple things real quick about fasting. Number one, fasting, what it's not. Fasting is not a diet. Okay? Can you get a little healthier through fasting? Sure. Can you drop some pounds through fasting? Absolutely. But I just got to tell you, if you don't eat for 21 days and you're going to lose some weight, but guess what? If you start eating normally like you did before, you're going to gain all that weight right back, okay? Okay? And so it's not really a long-term success plan for losing weight. But it might help you jumpstart some of your health goals for the year, okay? Fasting is not a diet plan. So if you're just doing, if you will say, oh, that sounds good, I need to drop a few pounds at the beginning of the year, let me do that. Well, you're looking to do this the wrong way, okay? There's nothing wrong. You want to drop a few pounds, drop a few pounds. But there's other ways to do that than fasting, okay? So it's not a diet plan. Fasting also, listen to me, fasting is not just another list of legalistic rules that you need to apply to your life. You hear what I'm saying? Okay, so what you got to do is you got to fast and do what God's told you to do, okay? I'm going to do one of the strangest fasts that I've ever felt like God put on my heart to do, probably for me. I'm still going to eat quite a bit of food on this fast. I know you're like, well, that doesn't sound right. But I'm literally, but I really have felt, and that there's reason for that. I was just praying about really something, God. I was like, God, I really just, what do you want me to do? Because I have some other goals in my life of other things I'm into that not eating for 3 weeks or denying myself is going to really put a damper on that. And so I felt like God kind of showed me a plan of some things of I'm going to fast. There's like four foods I'm going to eat for 21 days. And I'll be honest with you, when you decide I'm going to eat only like three or four foods for 21 days, that can actually be harder than like a Daniel fast or something where there's more variety. You understand what I'm saying? So anyway, so types of fast. Let's talk about some types of fast. There's all kinds of types of fast, okay? You can do a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is where you would eat only fruits and vegetables. You can look at that in Daniel chapter 10. The Bible says that Daniel didn't go on a full fast, but he said he ate no meat, he ate no sweets, and he drank no wine. And he also said he used no lotions or perfumes. I would suggest going ahead and use some lotion and clean yourself up and putting deodorant on. We don't need to go that crazy. And if you do like the full Daniel fast, you can come to church next week, but if you're not on deodorant in a couple of weeks, we'll just see you at the end of the fast. And you just hold yourself up in a wall with the Lord and pray, and we'll see you when you're done. You'll be coming out of your prayer closet just glowing with the glory of God and all that. But please deodorize. Anyway. Okay. So he ate no meat, drank no sweets, or drank no wine. So no alcohol, no meat, no sweets for 21 days as he sought God. That's a Daniel fast. So you're eating fruits, vegetables, nuts, no meat, all right? That's probably one of the best fasts to start on because it allows you a lot of variety. And listen, in the Daniel fast, so what I'm doing this year is kind of my own Justinized version of a Daniel fast. It's a Daniel fast for me. I don't think there was anything significant about Daniel saying, I'm not going to eat any meat at all. It was the fact that he was saying, I'm going to push something back in order to open myself up to hear from the Lord. Does that make sense? So individualize a Daniel fast to be any sort of Daniel fast that you want it to be. It's pushing back certain foods for a set period of time. It's a Daniel fast. Does that make sense? Okay. So some of you may say, well, I'm just going to not eat sweets for 21 days. Awesome. Join that. Do it. Amen. Some of you may say, and listen, let me say this. We're going to corporately fast, and I'm encouraging everyone to go 21 days. Maybe you only go for 3 days. In whatever fast, whether it's a full fast or a 7-day fast, maybe you say, well, I don't know if I can go 21. I'm just saying start somewhere. Maybe you say, well, maybe I'm just giving you a bunch of ideas, just things to think about. Maybe instead of fasting for 21 days, a Daniel fast, maybe you fast 1 day a week, full fast, only liquids, for the first day of each week for 3 weeks, 24 hours. So there's lots of ways to participate and do this. So you got a Daniel fast, you can do a full fast. You can do a full fast, which would be liquids only, okay? Liquids only. Now listen, I'm telling you right now, if you have never fasted before, you better know you're hearing from God to do this. I've been doing this a long time in my life. There's only been 3 times in my life that I've done a 21-day liquid-only fast, okay? And there were times that I knew God said, just like was really in my heart, this is what I want you to do this year, okay? And I've seen tremendous breakthrough in those times, but it's not something I ever do just for me to do it. I try to be led by the Lord in that. Does that make sense? So you can do, but you can do that, a liquid only fast where you're only going to eat liquids or drink liquids and no solid foods. So if you're doing a liquid only fast, listen, this is between you and the Lord. When I do a liquid only fast, I blend up smoothies, I do protein shakes, I might have some vegetable broth. Basically, if I can drink it, I put it in my body. Okay, and again, fasting is not something to be a bunch of religious rules. You know what I'm saying? If somebody was like, well, that means I can just blend up a Big Mac and drink it. I'm like, look, if you want to blend up a Big Mac and drink it, more power to you. but sure, whatever, you know. Listen, what I'm saying is it's your fast. It's your walk with God. It's your thing that you're listening for God to do, okay? So there's a Daniel fast. You can do a 3-day fast. You could do a partial fast where we would say, maybe say I'm going to fast from sun up to sundown, okay? So I might get up and eat breakfast. I'm not going to eat lunch, and then I'll eat dinner at sundown or whatever. Or maybe just eat one meal a day or whatever. That's another type of fast that you can participate in. I'm just trying to let you know there's lots of ways that you can be involved in fasting because some of you might say, well, I've got hyperglycemia. I've got blood sugar issues. I've got diabetes. I've got to get stuff in my body. I've got to get glucose. Okay, that's cool. There are options and ways to work around that to where you can participate in fasting, okay? You know why the first meal of the day is called breakfast? It's from break fast. It's where you're sleeping all night, and when you wake up the first meal, you're breaking the fast. Does that make sense? So you can do a sun up to sundown fast. For me personally, I'm just telling you, for me, some of you guys might be like me. For me personally, sun up to sundown fast do not work. Because, or any type of like 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. or whatever don't work for me, because I'm a man of extremes. So it's either all or nothing. So what I will end up doing is starving myself all day, and it's like as soon as the sun goes down, I've got a billion calories of food waiting to be devoured. That's how I am. And so I'll gain 30 pounds on a fast like that. And people are like, well, I thought you were fasting. Yeah, it's been great. It's been awesome. Literally, I'll tell you a story. Literally, one time when I was in Bible college, my dorm mate, we went on a fast together, and we were fasting, and we were both doing a sun up, sundown fast. And I worked at Ponderosa Steakhouse. You might remember, I don't even know if those still exist anymore. You remember, they're kind of like, Ponderosa Steakhouses were like not as big a buffet as Golden Corral's, but I feel like the quality of food was normally better, but maybe it was just as gross or whatever. Anyway, I used to work at a Ponderosa Steakhouse, so as a Bible college student, I could get half price when I wasn't working at Ponderosa Steakhouse. And during our fast, the Ponderosa Steakhouse had an all-you-can-eat steak meal for $7.99, and for a college kid who worked there, it was $4. I could eat all-you-can-eat steak for $4, so me and my buddy, we fasted all day long, prayed, sought God. As soon as evening came, we ran to the Ponderosa Steakhouse where I worked. We plopped down $4, and I kid you not, I ate like 14 sirloin steaks. Just crushed them, right? So I've learned, for me, my personality and the way I live my life, that just doesn't work well for me. Okay, because then I spend all the next day miserable and feeling bad about how gluttonous I was. And so it doesn't work. So, but my point is this. There's all kinds of fasts. Let me give you some other ideas. Maybe food is just absolutely not an option. Maybe you can fast social media for 21 days. All the teenagers are like, what? Maybe you fast Snapchat for 21 days. My wife just passed out at the thought. Okay? Fast Netflix for 21 days. Fast TV for 21 days. Fast secular music for 21 days. I'm telling you, there's other areas that we can fast. I tell you this, biblically, and I believe what fasting teaches, food, I believe, is the best way to do this. I'm just telling you, just my personal opinion, there should be, I think it's better when there's some sort of food component to it. Okay? But I also understand that some of us are so addicted to our phones, to our social media, to our Netflix, and to whatever else, that is a legitimate fast for many of us. That may even be harder than some food, okay? But there are other things to fast. So I just want to encourage you, man, participate in some way. If this is your home church, if Red Life Church is where God has called you, where God has planted you, where you're getting fed the word of God, and this is where you're serving the kingdom at, man, I want to encourage you, participate in some way. And there's all these other options to be a part of it, okay? Fasting. Okay, why 21 days? Why is that important? We basically get the 21-day fast from Daniel chapter 10 as a 21-day fast. Is there anything necessarily magical or super spiritual about the 21-day fast? I'll say yes and no. I believe 21 days is just a significant number because it's in the Bible, but I do believe that there is some prophetic significance to the number 21 biblically. For instance, 21, besides 21 and 1, the only other factors that multiply to get 21 is the numbers 3 and 7. 3 biblically is the number of resurrection. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days and then was resurrected. 7 represents the number of completion. It took God 7 days for creation. He created for 6 days and rested on the seventh and said it was complete. It was good. So you see a 3 and a 7 could combine to make 21, and you have what? Complete resurrection. Amen? So I think there could be some spiritual significance there. I'm not going to go crazy with it, but I believe there is probably some spiritual prophetic significance to the number 21, but we get it simply because it's the number in the Bible. And here's what happens in Daniel 10. When Daniel fasted for 21 days, here's what happened. Daniel receives this vision from the Lord that he could not understand. And so the Bible says that Daniel set himself for 21 days to fasting and seeking God. Now, he says on the 21st day, an angel finally showed up to him and comes and shows him the revelation and gives him the meaning of this dream and vision that Daniel had. But this is what's fascinating about what Daniel says. I want you to get this, and you can read this in Daniel chapter 10 later. When Daniel has this encounter with this angel, Michael, the Bible says that the angel comes to Daniel and says, Daniel, he says, I was released from heaven to come see you the very first day that you began to seek God. And he said, but I was caught up in the air in doing battle with the prince of Persia, which he's naming another demonic entity that was over the land that Daniel was in. And so here's what's happening. Here's what you got to understand. As we are seeking God, this is a very keen insight into spiritual battle, into what's happening in our lives on the natural, is that when we are seeking God and praying, there's all this stuff happening above us in the atmosphere, in the heavenly spiritually. Okay, and the angel says to Daniel, he says, God sent me from the throne to come and talk to you the very first day that you prayed. He said, but I've been held up for 21 days in battle with this prince of Persia that's ruling this spiritual geographical location. He says, after 21 days, he said, I got some help. Some more angels showed up. They took care of the prince of Persia, and I was released to come and see you. So you've got to understand that sometimes when I pray, it's not that God doesn't hear, it's that there's warfare happening in the heavenlies. And as I pray and fast, I am participating in the battle, and I'm preparing myself to receive that answer. Amen? And it took Daniel 21 days. And so we're going to go on a 21-day fast. A couple more tips on fasting, and then I'm going to be done. Really just one more. This is really important. So when I fast, right? Pick your fast, and this is what else you need to do. Target your fast. What do you mean? I mean, pray and ask God. If God's put on your heart something to fast for and join us in this fast, then don't just say, God, what do you want me to fast? How do you want me to do it? Also pray this. God, what am I fasting for? What's my target? Okay? Almost every time in the Bible, when you see someone who went on a fast, almost every single time it was for a specific situation. People would fast for a battle. They would fast for a healing. They would fast for something. I think it's important in our lives when we fast, we need to fast for something. Okay? We need to target our fast to a specific need, a specific area, or a specific thing that you're believing for. Amen? So don't just say, I'm just going to fast just because the preacher told me to. What are you believing for in this fast? If you got one of the fasting guides there when you walked in, if not, grab one when you go. The back side of that is blank, and it's got two pages, two little sections. You can tear it off. And what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks as we're fasting, I want you to write down what you're believing for, what you're praying for. Write it down twice. You keep one copy, and we're going to put another copy on the altar that we're going to pray over. Okay? As we fast every single Wednesday night, beginning this Wednesday, everybody say this Wednesday. This Wednesday, for the next three Wednesdays in a row, we're going to meet right here in the sanctuary. We're going to have worship, and we're going to have a time of prayer. So we're going to pray and fast. We gave at the end of this year. We're going into the beginning of this year with giving and fasting, a three-stranded cord that cannot be easily broken. Amen? You been following me so far? Okay, so target your fast. So you can write that down, to target your fast. We're going to say, target my fast. Ask God what to believe for. Now, let me tell you about our target as a church, what I feel like God's put on my heart. Acts chapter 24. I'm going to be digging into this over the next couple of weeks. I'm sorry, Acts chapter 26. We're going to dig into this over the next few weeks as we go about this fast. And you see that word there, redirect. Everybody say redirect. We read this scripture, and this is our target as we fast corporately. God's going to give you a target for your life and for your family, for your home, for your business, whatever you're fasting for. But this is what we as a church family are targeting right now this year as we go into this fast. Listen to this. Acts chapter 26, verse 12, Paul's recounting a story of his conversion that took place in Acts chapter 9. He says, one day I was on such a mission to Damascus, armed with the authority and commission of the leading priest. Okay, so he's on his way to Damascus to imprison believers. Watch what happens. He says, about noon, your majesty, I was on the road. A light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked, and the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness, and you are to tell the world what you have seen and what I will show you in the future. Now, I'm not going to dig into all this here this morning, but this is what you need to know. Paul is vehemently and violently, and he thinks he's doing what God wants him to do, and he is doing everything that he can do to crush the church and to destroy this message of Jesus that is going forth through his disciples. You follow me so far? Paul is running with passion, with zeal, with everything that he has to kill what God is doing. And he thinks, Listen, he thinks he's doing what God wants him to do. And so along this Damascus road, Jesus shows up, literally kicks Saul off of his horse to get his attention. And he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to go against my will." The King James translation says, "It is useless for you to kick against the goads or to kick against the pricks." What that was when a farmer would in the old days here in this culture, when they're leading their bulls and their oxen to plow the fields, they would use a stick with some sort of point on the end of it, and they would direct them behind by poking them which direction they wanted to go. And some horses, some oxen, some beasts, they wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like that either. And what they would do is when they would get poked, some animals would kick back against it. What happens when you kick back against, you're just getting poked to get moved. What happens when they kick back against it? They really feel it in them, right? And so what what's happening here is Jesus saying you're kicking against the pricks. You're kicking against the goads. You're kicking against what I'm trying to use to direct your life. And so God gave Saul, who turned into Paul, a redirect. And here's what's going on. Literally, Saul is going against, he's literally running into the wind. Because what God wants to do is birth a church and birth Christianity and send the message of Jesus all over the world. But Saul is running what he thinks is what God's will is. He's running against God's will. And so Jesus shows up, kicks Paul off his horse, and redirects him and says, "Listen, I'm going to turn you around and I'm going to use this energy, but I'm going to be at your back now instead of you running into my face." And he redirected his life so that he could get on track with what God wants him to do. Amen? And what I really believe, listen, it was just maybe 4 weeks ago. Sometimes I'm working in the office and I want to take a break, so sometimes I'll just kind of give myself a little break and pray a little bit. Sometimes I'll take like 10 minutes. I'll just walk around the building. Like, I'll open these doors because it's cold outside. I'll just walk for maybe 5 or 10 minutes through the sanctuary and around the hall. It's kind of in a loop, just to kind of give myself a break, move a little bit. Don't want to sit at the office in the desk too long. And I'm doing that. I didn't know, one day I was praying. I was just kind of walking around this building, praying. And this scripture came to my mind. And I really felt the Holy Spirit speak to me. He said, "Justin, it's time for a redirect. It's time, listen, for us." I don't know anything about sailing at all. But I do know that sailing doesn't work without the wind. That's all I know. And I know that when the wind blows, if I was a sailor, I would need to redirect my sails to catch the wind. Amen? Right? Like, we all, like, I think that's right. I'm going to get, like, a correction somewhere. I know that's not how it works. Okay. You need the wind. Sometimes in life, we can get out of alignment, and our sails can get out of position to where we're not catching the wind. And I believe through this fast, this year, these next 21 days, band can come on up. I believe God wants to redirect, reposition, and realign some of our sails so that we can catch a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. That's really what I feel like God's put in my heart. We need a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit in this house. Amen? Let me say it again. Red Life Church, we need a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. But it's not going to happen by accident. And it's not going to happen because we just woke up one day. No, what's going to happen is I've got to put myself intentionally in a position to where I allow God to redirect me and reposition me and realign me so I can catch a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit. God's got more people for us to reach. God's got more lives for us to touch. God's got more impact for us to make in this community. God's got more souls that need saved that we haven't. There are still people. I know this for a fact. There are literally still people that have seen what God's been doing here and have thought to themselves every Sunday, "I need to go check that church out." And they still haven't darkened the door. There are still people for us to reach. There's still people for us to witness to. And we need a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit to do that. Amen? Stand with me all over this place. Again, I know nothing about sailing, but I can imagine, because I've seen it on a movie and I stayed at Holiday Inn Express a couple times. I saw it on YouTubes. That when there's no wind, sailing is real tough. Amen? And can I tell you something else? In church and in ministry, and when we have a vision from God to reach, encourage, and disciple, listen, when there's no wind, it makes ministry tough. Makes church tough when there's no wind. And I don't want to do church with no wind. Amen? I don't want to do church with no wind. How many are with me, man? I don't want to do church with no wind. Amen? I don't want to come to church and be a part of a church and give my tithe, my offering, and serve and give my energy and my effort to a place with no wind. Lord, we need wind. I believe this fast God wants to use these next 21 days to redirect the sails of our lives to catch a fresh wind. Now listen. It is winds, W-H-E-N. Winds create the wind, not ifs. Amen? So what I'm asking us to do right now, take a minute. Just close your eyes for a second. Just let the Holy Spirit speak to you.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow Him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.